Let it snow. It's been snowing. So it's working, I guess, this series. We're really bringing the snow. A lot of times it doesn't snow till a lot later in the year, but you know what I mean? Like after Christmas. But man, this series, we're really making an impact on the weather system somehow. I'm not sure how. How are you guys doing? You guys glad to be here? Yeah, okay, all right. It's pretty good. Jameis Winston won the Heisman last night. And then all of our Ohio State dirty laundry got aired out on 30 for 30, if anybody watched that. Anybody watch that thing, 30 for 30? Blown away. Was that craziness? This isn't part of anything. Let's move on. All right, we're talking about being the refreshing part of Christmas because maybe you're new to church and you're new to like this type of church, but you've heard of God and you're just not sure what he's about. What he's about is taking your life and blessing it tremendously, making it better, making it sweet, making it something that other people go, "Ooh, I want that." God in all of his plans and all of his design, the greatest design was to bring his son to this planet to refreshen what we all need, and that is life with God. To take us out of broken relationships, to bring us to new peace, to give us hope, all those words we sing about in the classic Christmas songs. God did that by bringing Jesus Christ to this planet. And so what we're talking about is being the refreshing part of Christmas. How can we be that? How can we bring that to people? And so I talked about being interested. Week one, I said, for you to be refreshing in your family, you need to be interested in the people's lives who you're going to be spending time with. And that means you need to ask questions, and you need to learn their story. And you need to get to a place where you share your story, because that's just like changes the game in terms of relationships, is when you really start to journey together through your stories and what's going on in your life. Last week, I talked about how every one of us, in order to be the refreshing part of Christmas, needs to be ready for a change of plans. We need to be ready for something that is not in our plan to become our plan. And I'm not talking about just going with the flow and peer pressure or whatever. I'm talking about when something comes up that you weren't planning on, not to be the person that just has to have it their way, but in a spirit of humility says, you know what, I'll go that direction. I'm going to be willing to do this differently. The Christmas story is about Mary and Joseph, who had a major change of plans. And because they were willing to go with what God wanted, they were blessed. Amazingly blessed. This week, it's just one of those fun Christmas weeks. We've been doing shopping and really getting ready for the Christmas season. And so we took our two little guys to Santa. And one loved it and one did not love it. Kellen was excited because he had an opportunity for the first time as a three-year-old to really get close to Santa. He wasn't that afraid because he knows if he's a good boy, then Santa will bring some things, and we told him that if he sleeps in his big boy bed, Santa will bring him more presents. And so this Santa Claus guy, by the way, this is one of the weirdest things we do in America, just so you know, we stood in line for 45 minutes to have our kids sit on that man's lap. Santa Claus is awesome. I mean, yay, he's bringing presents, naughty or nice, whatever. But Kellen got to ask for some things, and then Jet over here was just not feeling it, which, I mean, who can blame it? Like, that's really, like, how we all should feel when we're, like, around this. I mean, this is, like, kind of weird. So it's really fun. Like, I got to have Kellen sit there and Jet sitting there, and Katie and I are kind of watching, and Katie took that picture, and it's just hilarious. And afterwards, we said, Kellen, what'd you ask for? You know, that's like what you do. Like, so what'd you tell Santa? What'd you ask him for, right? What'd you want? And he got to tell us, and Kellen has a very specific list, okay? And everything my son wants has monster truck wheels associated with it. So he wants Transformer monster trucks. He wants Bugs monster trucks. And he wants construction monster trucks. So essentially, in my son Kellen's world, if you slap monster trucks on anything, it's his favorite. And that's what he told Santa. He said, I want these monster trucks and these monster trucks and these monster trucks. And this is like this question, like as we get older, we don't ask it quite the same way, more like, what do you want for Christmas? And like our list as we get older has to get a little smaller, because if we're honest, like what we really want, we just go get for ourselves. It's like, I'm not going to like leave this whole Christmas thing up to you because I'm just going to go get what I want. I don't have to spend like the day after Christmas or the week after taking back the stuff you got me that is not good. So just, you know, you get to that point. But, you know, when you're younger and you ask for stuff for Christmas and you have a list, and that's a big, big part of like what it is Christmas is, you know, we ask, what are you going to get? I mean, let's be honest, Christmas morning, it's all about what's under that tree. I mean, I remember in high school, just wake, I could not wait to get up and see what was underneath that tree. And so much of it had to do with what I asked for. You know, what did I really ask for? What did I want? And then all of that anticipation led to whether or not that would be fulfilled. And my goal for you today, in order to be the refreshing part of Christmas, is to ask for something extraordinary. To ask God for something extraordinary. You and I have the privilege of taking the Christmas season and believing that God can do something extraordinary with it. You see, we can ask God for the same things, things that we're used to, things that we think might happen or could happen, or we could say, God, what's bigger than me? What's bigger than my problems? What's bigger than my doubts? What can I ask for that is extraordinary? Because the whole Christmas story is about God doing extraordinary things for you and for me. And God, like a father, sits in heaven, and when his kids ask for something ordinary, he goes, come on. It's a reflection on what we think he's capable of. But when we say something big, when we move beyond the ordinary and we get to extraordinary, God is pleased. Big faith, which is represented in big prayers, pleases God. He is happy when his kids go, I want this, I need this, will you do this for me, God? And the Christmas story is supposed to get us to see a God who is willing to do the extraordinary, who is capable to do the extraordinary, and see his children believe that God, again, has a master plan for us to engage him in, for us to be changed by him doing something that's outside of our everyday lives. Now, we learn this story, this truth, in an amazing fashion in Luke 1, 18 through 20, where we see the story of a man named Zechariah. Today, we're going to call him Zach. Zechariah, he is a critical character in the Christmas story. He is the father of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, who's the cousin of Jesus, was the precursor, the go-before, the highway builder for Jesus. Essentially, John the Baptist is the guy that's supposed to prepare the way for Jesus. And that means that he's going to tell the people of Israel who are waiting for their real king that he is actually coming. And he is going to be this character that changes the temperature of Israel so that when Jesus comes, they're a little more ready than they would have been. It says in Scripture that he's going to come in the power of Elijah, which to you and me doesn't mean a whole lot, but to the Israelite people who knew Elijah as one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. He's the only man in the Scripture, aside from Jesus after his resurrection, to go up into heaven and not physically die. God says that John would come in the power of Elijah. And to the people of Israel, that meant, this is serious. This is real. And what God does in the story of Zechariah, who's a priest, is he gives him something extraordinary. He shows Zechariah that his prayer is heard, that when he asks for something big, God listens. Here's the deal. Zechariah is one of the priests of Israel. In the nation of Israel, there's 12 different tribes. One of the tribes is the Levite tribe, and that tribe are the priests. Now, the priests are responsible for going into the temple and taking care of the ceremonial worship times. That's what they did. There were so many Levites, and I've talked about this in a sermon years ago, a couple years ago during Christmas. There were so many Levites that not all of them would be able to go into the temple and perform some of those ceremonial duties. Because there were so many, they had to go through kind of a random selection process, kind of a drawing of straws, if you will, for the nation to see who would get their chance to go into the temple and be a part of the ceremony. And God gives Zechariah the opportunity to go into the temple and do this. And he's in the temple, and we read about this earlier in the first parts of Luke chapter 1. Zach is in the temple, and he's burning the incense. He's doing what he's supposed to do as a priest, and he's praying. And Gabriel, this angel from heaven, shows up and just freaks him out. This is like where we get like the idea of like tripping out from. Zechariah went on a trip to the temple, saw the angel, he's tripping. There's incense, he's tripping. He thought he was on like some kind of hallucinogen. He's sitting there going, whoa, okay, there's Gabriel. And Gabriel says, dude, don't be afraid. I got something really exciting for you. And what he says is critical is he says, your prayer has been heard. God has heard your prayer. And what we find out is that Zach and his wife were unable to have children. That for years and years and years and years and years, Zach and his wife not able to have children. They're older. And the thing that's so remarkable about Zach is that even though after years and years and years of not being able to have children, he continues to ask God and believe that he can bring him a child. You see, that's the story of Christmas. Now, for some of you, that really sits home and you're going, oh, you know, you've struggled. A lot of people I know in this church struggle to have children. This is part of that, but it's bigger than that. This is the idea that God can do something that's supernatural. He can do something that's ordinary, and then he can add extra in front of it. He can do something that's natural, and he can add super in front of it. And Zach believed that God had the ability, even though after years and years and years of not being able to have children, he believed that God could give him a child. And he kept on praying that. And he kept on praying that. You see, the Christmas story, it's so cool. There's two different kind of births that take place. One between a husband and wife, Zach and his wife, that have been together for years and years and years and years, and they can't have any children. And then God blesses them with something extraordinary. And then a husband and wife-to-be who have never been together, God says, I'm going to have this young virgin Mary. She's going to have a child. And God takes the natural and he makes it supernatural. I want, with everything I am, your hearts and your minds to be supercharged this time of year to believe that God is still the same. That he wants you to believe he can do things that are extraordinary, things that are beyond what you're used to, things that are beyond the natural. It just wouldn't be Christmas if you walked around and you asked all the same questions and you asked for all the same things. I mean, come on. Stretch your mind. Stretch your faith. Do you think that maybe your prayer life needs a little more life? Come on. Do you need a little more life? Do you think that like your prayer life maybe needs to elevate to another level? Is Christmas just going to be like every other Christmas? Or do you think that maybe you could see God in a different way and ask him for something that's bigger than you've ever asked him before? That's what Christmas is about. It's about believing that God is big and that he can do something extraordinary. So Zach is sitting in the temple and this angel shows up. And his response is really probably similar to yours and mine. Even if we have had the faith to ask for something big, and even if we've had the consistency to do it time and time again, year after year after year, when God shows up to Zach in this moment, he still has a response that I think a lot of us can relate to. This is what he says. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? Now, I just want you to stop for a second. Gabriel is this angel from God that says to him, I have been with God. Look what he goes on and he says. He says, I'm an old man and I don't know how I can be sure of this. And then he goes on and he says, dude, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I'm telling you this good news. Like, Do you need more? Like, what else do you need to have happen for you to believe that your prayer is going to be answered? And he kind of challenges his doubt. And what goes on happening is that because he asks this question, Zechariah's mouth is actually sealed until John is born. He's not allowed to talk. And Gabriel kind of says, because you didn't believe. And so what we see is a great tension, and this is what I want to live in with you guys for a second. We see a man named Zach who believed that God could do something after all those years of not seeing a baby being born. Then, when God shows up in miraculous fashion, which is the Christmas story, he still doubts. And so what we see in all of our lives is some faith, believing that God can do something extraordinary, and some doubt, not seeing the things happen that we want to happen, not believing that God is who he says he is or that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And what I want to see in our lives happen this time of year is to see what God intended for Zach is what he intends for us. And that is that you allow your doubt and your faith to live together in an appropriate proportion. You see, you cannot get rid of your doubt. You actually need your doubt. You see, in the midst of God not answering questions or you being confused, faith has an opportunity to rise. If you get rid of all doubt, it's not faith. You see, if it just all happens the way you want and you see it and you all understand it, then you don't have to trust God for anything. So what happens is God uses doubt to point you to the right direction of what you need to pray for. You see, when you stare doubt in the face, it tells you what your faith needs to be. When you look at what you're struggling with, that is the stepping stone for prayer. You go, I don't believe that we could still have kids. So Zach, they've been married for years. They're sitting in the temple. And he's going, you know, we haven't had kids. I still want a child. I still want to have a child. But it's never happened. It's never going to happen. I mean, if it hasn't happened, how could it happen now? And in the moment of that doubt creeping in, he said, you know what? I'm not going to let doubt rule the day. I'm going to let that doubt be a doorway for my prayer of faith. Even though I doubt, even though it hasn't happened, God, will you give me and my wife a son? You see, we don't get to live in a world right now where doubt gets erased. What we do is we get to look doubt in the face and say, God is bigger than my doubt. Do you believe that God is bigger than your doubt? Are you looking to erase your doubt, or are you looking at your doubt as a doorway to what you should be praying for? A lot of us struggle with doubt. We think, I'm not allowed to doubt. I shouldn't doubt. God wants to show you that he is bigger than those doubts. You see, we get to let it snow. We get to see that God brought a man named Gabriel, an angel named Gabriel, and he brought him into this moment. And he said, I am going to answer the question. God is going to answer the question. We have this great plan for you, and it is so exciting. And in the moment, you would think it would just kind of change everything, because Zach was a priest and he knew that Gabriel and his name meant strong man or man of good news. You see, to Zach, Gabriel was a guy that was bringing something good. In the Bible, in those scriptures, there's really only two angels that show up. Michael, who was this angel of warrior, this angel of kind of competition and battle, and Gabriel, an angel of hope and an angel of peace. And in the midst of his doubts, God sends down Gabriel and says, tell him that I'm going to answer his prayers. You see, guys, you get to believe that God wants to answer your prayers, that he actually wants to hear your prayers, that he wants you to think bigger, and he will bless you. I want you to ask God for something extraordinary. I don't want you to live and look at the doubt and turn away from it. I want you to look it in the face and go, okay, I'm going to ask anyway. I want you to take your prayer life to the next level. I want you to bring some life to your prayer life. And that is whatever you're struggling with. Look it in the face and go, God, what could you do that's bigger than my doubts? You know what happens when you do that? God's heart comes alive because big faith pleases God. And big faith is represented in big prayers. And big prayers come when we believe that God can do something extraordinary. That's what the Christmas story is about. It's about God doing something extraordinary. It's about us seeing his character and his nature and buying into that completely. Now, when you go to God and you ask him for something extraordinary, you need to know this. This is critical. There's a lot of places to teach different things. God does not always do what we ask, but he loves when we ask. There's nothing that moves the heart of God more than when his children ask him to do something that's bigger than their doubts, that's bigger than their circumstances, that's bigger than their problems of the day. He wants to see that his children believe that he is the capable father. It says this in Hebrews 11:6. This is a great passage about doubt and about faith. Without faith, is it impossible to please God? He says, when you go to God with big prayers, it puts a big smile on God's face. He wants you to believe that he is capable and that he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he's going to do. And that makes his heart come alive, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And if God truly exists, that means he's capable of doing something extraordinary in your life. Doesn't mean he will, but it means he's capable. And he loves it when we know he's capable. And you see, what happens is when you pray big prayers, you get to intersect into a big plan. You see, God's greatest plan was to bring himself, his son, Jesus, into the world to take away the sin of the world. He had a grand strategy. In the very first part of Scripture, we see that God's plan was to bring Jesus into the world. It mentions it in Genesis. And when you pray something big and your prayers get a little bigger than they normally would, you get an opportunity to have your prayers intersect with God's plan. You see, Zach could have sat in the temple and just prayed normal prayers. But he said, no, my God is big, and there's a lot of years, and there's a lot of problems, and there's a lot of stuff that isn't going right. But I believe that God can still bring me and my wife a child. And when he did that, God didn't just give him a child. He said, no, I'm not just going to answer your prayer. I'm going to bring your prayer into my plan. And your son is not just going to be any son. He's going to be John the Baptist. And he's going to get the people's hearts ready to receive God. Every father, every mother wants to see and watch their children become the best version of themselves. And I believe that God, in this moment, could have picked any father on earth, any father in Israel, to bring this forerunner for Christ. But maybe this, and this is a little speculation, maybe God was sitting up in heaven and he said, who's got a big prayer? Who's got a big faith? Who keeps on pressing towards me? Because I have a plan, and I'm a master orchestrator of plans, and I can take my plan and I can weave a big prayer into it anytime I want. And he heard Zach give us a child, and he said, okay, I like that. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do you one better. Guys, I want you to ask God for something extraordinary. You need to believe that he has a big plan and that your plan, your prayer and his plan can intersect for something amazing. Just a couple of ideas. Some of you need family healing. You see, some of you, you can pray like that God, you win the lottery right now. There's like $500 million in the lottery. You could pray for that. That's extraordinary. Go ahead. Have fun with that. Okay, but what I'm talking about is taking your life and the things where you just doubt that God still wants to work. The things where you just, family, my mom, my dad, my cousins, my aunt, my uncle, it's just not going to get any better. Do you think that maybe it might please God for you to like bump that one up again? To like maybe go back to him again and say, okay, God, I'm doubting that this is going to change, but I'm going to ask that you bring some type of healing and hope and joy and peace to my family that I've not seen. Maybe you are sick. You know, this is a sensitive topic because a lot of people are sick. And sometimes God heals people. Maybe you're sick and you just forgot that God can do that. Maybe you never believed that God can do that. Do you know that he, if he's God and he exists, he can heal you? Doesn't mean he will. But do you know that he can? Maybe the sickness and the doubt has stopped you from asking. And in that, you're losing connection with your Father because he wants to see you ask and hear you ask. And one day this whole thing's going to get better and we're all going to have tears wiped away and there's not going to be any sickness. But right now, we get to walk by faith and hopefully our faith transcends our doubts and we let our doubts increase our faith. I mean, some of us are really passionate about social healing. Maybe there's just something going on in the world, something going on downtown, something going on overseas, something going on where you just see, God, you know, I just seem so complicated and just all the, you know, the people over there and the way they act and the history and just doubts. Maybe God wants you to let that doubt be a step for a big prayer. It pleases God when you ask him big prayers. This week, my wife took Kellen and Jet to Kosai because it's 2 degrees outside and there's nowhere else to go in Columbus. So they went to Kosai and they go in there and hang out all day. And then that night, she went out with some friends and I had bath time with Kellen and Jet. And I take Kellen out of the bath and throw him on the bed. And he was in one of those like happy, miserable moods, which if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Like every 2 seconds he was laughing, and then when I would like be like, oh, where's Kellen? He'd start crying. And I just wanted to, you know, just, you know. And he just, it's just crazy, like, it's just like, you know, what is wrong with you? And then I remember he's three. All right, he'll change. But like, he sat there, and he looked at me, and it's like almost 8 o'clock at night. And he goes, Daddy, I want you to take me to Kosai. And I was like, Kellen, you went to Kosai earlier today. He's like, no, I want to go right now. I said, Kellen, it's closed. He goes, no, it's not. I said, well, it is actually closed. We can't go. Well, I want you to take me. And I went out to get his, like, Hulk Smash pajamas or something. And I thought to myself, I love that he thinks I could take him to Kosai right now. I can't, but I love that he thinks that. I love that my son doesn't second guess and he goes, my dad can do anything. Dad, you can take me. You can make this happen. God loves it. It pleases him when his kids look at their doubts and ask for big prayers as a result of those. It makes him happy. And what if God has a plan that's so big? And he's looking at all of us right now and he's going, who's going to ask that prayer? Who's going to ask that big prayer that intersects with my plan? And maybe I'm going to bring them into this plan in such a way that they never could have asked or imagined. I believe God worked that way and I believe he still does. So let's take a minute and let's just pray. Let's pray big. Let's take a minute right now and open up our hearts. Let's ask God for something extraordinary. You guys pray with me. God, right now, we are so locked in the moment. We forget that you do amazing things, that you've done amazing things, that the things you've done in the past represent your character, not your character then, your character now, who you are. I pray, God, that we would become people who believe you can do extraordinary things and that our prayers would start to reflect that. God, right now, some of us, we need you to do something big in our families. We need you to take it to the next level. We need you to soften hearts. We need you to build relationships. We need something different to change. Some of us have some circumstances, some illness. God, we believe that you can do it. You can help us. And we trust your plan. Regardless of the answer, we believe you can do it. We believe that you are capable. God, some of us just need to be reminded that you do big things and that that's a part of your nature. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for this morning and for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.